Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Sorry we're getting started just a little bit late, but apparently Blog Talk Radio is having some technical difficulties today. If any of you calling in have some crackling on the line, it took me about 5 or 6 times of calling in to get a clear connection. So if you do hear crackling and you're on the computer, try closing the browser window and going back and refreshing the page. If you're on the phone, try hanging up and calling back in. It might take a couple tries to get it clear. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got another great show lined up for everyone today. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's a little under the weather this week, but she's calling in live from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. And I've got one of those crackling lines, so I will be hanging up and calling back in and seeing if I can't clear the line from my end, too. So I have been so looking
forward. It sounds really clear on our end, just so you know.
I know. It's going to be a lovely conversation with us popping in and out. I've been so looking forward to having our guest with us today. I first met him when he flew out to Los Angeles to join our friend Craig Valline at one of Craig's events in Los Angeles, here in Los Angeles a few months ago. And he built such a compelling argument for very specific relationship building techniques that I knew right then that I wanted to bring him to our audience. Jim Palmer is internationally known as the newsletter guru. He's the go-to resource for maximizing the profitability of customer relationships. He's an acclaimed author, in particular, of The Magic of Newsletter Marketing, The Secret to More Profits and Customers for Life, and also Stick Like Glue. I just love the titles of his books. How to Create an Everlasting Bond with Your Customers So They Stay Longer, Spend More, and Refer More, and The Fastest Way to Highest Profits, 19 Immediate Profit-Enhancing Strategies You Can Use Today. So, Jim, for the names of your programs and your books alone, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much. Nice to be here.
It's great having you with us, and I have so much crackling on my end. I'm going to let you and Gina take off from there while I hang up to see if I can't get back in on a clear line.
I was concerned that you guys know,
something's going on here at my house at the moment. We have fire department and ambulances and something weird's going on. So I have no idea. If I go in the house, I'm going to have dog barking. If I stay out of the house, we're going to have a little excitement, apparently. So it'll be an interesting
show. Too funny. So, Jim, I would love it if you would share with our audience how you came to have this really core focus on newsletters and their use in building real, sustainable relationships with customers.
Sure. You know, the newsletters are a tool. And so what I like to talk about is, you know, when I came out to Craze, I addressed the larger, maybe 10,000-foot view topic of client retention, because in reality, nobody wants to do a newsletter. I mean, take a little bit of time, kind of a pain in the rear. But what everybody wants is higher profits in their business. My belief is that higher profits come from stronger relationships with your current customers, clients, and patients. And the best way to do that is to use a newsletter. So the newsletters are a way to get retention, and retention is the best way to boost your profits. I learned about that strategy well over 30 years ago now. You know, funny thing, when I started speaking, I used to say almost 30 years. Now I'm well past 30 years. But when I was in my 20s, I was managing a bike shop, and we were really engrossed in the recession of the late 70s, early 80s, and our business was taking quite the hit. But I realized that if we would just maximize the profitability of the clients and the customers we do have, and also if we re-engage and connect with people that have already given us money, you know, i.e. past customers, we can still grow our business, and we were able to do that. And so even when the economy turned around in the mid-80s and really started taking off, we grew even faster because we just stayed connected with our customers, and the newsletter is the way that I first learned how to do that.
So I love the fact that it all started with on-the-grounds brick-and-mortar business. So much of the focus in later years became how to use a newsletter, which then morphed into how to have an online business. But it's so important for people to understand nowadays that even in this era of a flood of internet-based communication, that this device called a newsletter is a really core way of relationship building.
You know, what's funny is sometimes people will ask me, well, when did print newsletters come back? And to me, they've never left. What I've seen and witnessed over the years is as entrepreneurial businesses, and yes, I do have a long history, probably 20, 25 years in brick and mortar, and I helped grow a national franchise to 80 stores and things like that. And what I realize is that the bigger a business gets, the more they think they can get away with not staying in touch with each and every customer. And so the reality is that, you know, when you gain a new customer, whether you are a brick-and-mortar business or whether you're an online business, I mean, the very lifeblood of your business is the relationship that you have with your customers. And we all gain customers the same way. We all have to overcome the initial hurdle. That is the know, like, and trust factor. So, you know, whether somebody's referred to our business by a current happy client or some of our marketing, you know, brings them to our doorstep or to our website, you know, they kind of check us out. And if it looks like we're a good fit, they may eventually say, yeah, okay, I trust you and I find value in what you're selling, so I'm going to give you some of my money. And at that point, you know, they buy one of your products or hire you for one of your services. And see, a lot of entrepreneurs at that point, they celebrate that they got a new client. And they're like, yes, we got another new customer. And then the very next thing they do is, let's go get another one. Because I think the mindset that most small business owners have, which is a little, you know, backwards in my opinion, is that the best way to keep growing their business and boosting their profits is just to keep getting more new customers. But in reality, every business sells more than one product and sells more than one service. And so when you have a customer, an initial transaction, first-time customer, for goodness sakes, why don't you develop that relationship and tell them by way of stories and things like that all the other products and services you sell so that over the years, this customer who bought one thing from you ends up buying a lot more of your stuff. And by the way, stronger relationships also lead to more referrals. It is a very much a win-win situation.
I love launching this conversation from the bike shop, and I'd love to keep coming back to it because I think, you know, on a practical level as well as a metaphorical, it's a really great starting point for helping folks who may be new to this idea of a newsletter really understand what it can be as a device. And so you pointed out, you know, the value of creating stories and so on, and I think some people may mistake the idea of a newsletter as a series of sales letters being sent to people, and that's not what we're talking about, is it?
No, it's not. It's I call it a customer-friendly newsletter, and if you want to think of it like either Reader's Digest or a very, very popular subscribe to newsletters called Bottom Line, and there's Bottom Line, personal Bottom Line, this, that, and the other thing, but each one of those newsletters or even Reader's Digest is made up of short little stories and things that people find interesting. It's generally a broad mix of things. So it could be anything from financial advice or email marketing advice, how to talk to your kids about money, how to help your, you know, aging parents. I mean, it could be anything. And the bottom line is if people read that and they're interested in it, they're going to keep – your name will stay top of mind. Now, that's not the only reason to do a newsletter. it's to help, educate or entertain your clients, although it's a good reason. But when you put an article on the front page of your newsletter, what I call a success story, so every month you're writing a story. It's not a featured product of the month, but it's a success story because it describes how your business has helped another customer, client, or patient with one of your services. So that every month, people will say, oh, I didn't know they did that. I didn't know they also sold that. Or, oh, goodness, we went to them or we hired that contractor to put in new plumbing for our hot tub. I didn't know they also did electrical and gutter repair and kitchen remodeling. Everybody does a lot of different things. And so what I tell people is it's not your customer's job. First of all, it's not your customer's job to remember your name, but it's not your customer's job to learn about all the other ways that you can help them make their life better, faster, more profitable, more enjoyable, whatever it is you do. It's your job to constantly remind them. And so a newsletter that's made up of, number one, a success story, so that is in some ways selling, but it's a very generic, non-threatening, salesy type of approach. But then the rest of your newsletter is about things that your customers are going to find fun, interesting, informative, and entertaining, and therefore they're going to read it. One of the things I do when I'm out speaking about this is I'll sometimes do impromptu hot seats, and somebody will bring up their current newsletter, and they'll ask me to critique it. I kind of have fun doing that. There was one time I was in front of, maybe 70 or 80 people, and a guy brought up, it had a masthead, so it had the name of a newsletter, and the entire front page was four giant boxes with dotted lines, so they were coupons. come on, Jim, you got to be able to say something nice here in front of all these people. But, that is not a newsletter. A newsletter is not a sales letter with a masthead.
And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about it being an offline printed one or an online one. The same principles hold, don't they?
Absolutely. The same principles hold, but as long as we're talking about online and offline, they are both important. They should both be part of your overall successful marketing strategy. However, 5 years ago when you did email marketing and an e-zine or an electronic newsletter would be considered email marketing, if you were to get 20 or 30% deliverability and open rates, you were doing pretty good. In fact, you were probably a rock star at that point. I mean, it's down into the single digits now with spam filters and the new categories that Gmail, Google has put up there. But if people think, but there's still no paper and postage, so it's a good deal. From that perspective, yes, it is. But from the other perspective, which is even more important, I'll give you kind of a quick scenario, and I'll use even numbers because I'm a little math challenged. Let's say you have 1,000 customers in your database, and you say, I'm going to do email newsletter instead of print because I don't want to pay for the paper and the postage. When you send out that email newsletter, even if it's a great newsletter, it's got everything in there that should be in there, and you hit go, those 1,000 newsletters, there's going to be approximately 900 of them that won't be delivered because of spam filters and things like that. So 900 of your 1,000 customers are not hearing from you, and that is not a good thing. That's a horrible thing, actually.
It's fascinating because it changes over and over and over again. I know, Gina, you spend a tremendous amount of attention on this whole notion of deliverability of messages.
Yes, and it's a really, really big issue. Can you guys hear me okay, or do you hear background noise over here?
We can hear you. Oh, I can hear you.
Fantastic. One of the things that I love most about what you've shared already, Jim, is the whole notion that through the newsletter, you can really get customers who buy over and over again. And not only are you making more money per customer, but your customers become one of your biggest referral sources. And it goes right back to that deliverability issue. If you're having the deliverability issues in the first place, you're not only losing out on your own customers buying again, but you're also then losing out on that huge source of referral. On my back end, which is a $12,000 sale, in 2012 was the first time we averaged 86% of our customers in that $12,000 program coming from referral. 2013, 82% of the sales came from referrals. And at a $12,000 sale, That is massive in terms of what it does to your bottom line.
Oh, my gosh. That, I mean, that's huge. You know, here's another one which kind of proves out that statistic. Over 80% of the revenues that go to Disney theme parks, over 80% of their revenue is from current and past customers, which means they spend very little. In fact, they almost spend nothing on new customer acquisition. It's all on customer retention marketing. And the way they do that, and they do it so well, is, I mean, they provide such an amazing experience. They completely wow everybody in their theme parks, right? Everything is almost spotless and perfect, but you never see them with it running an ad, for instance, hey, come to our parks, they're clean, we got great rides, you're going to love our smile. They don't have to do that because they have such a raving fan base of people that come time and time and time again. And the other 20% of the revenue comes from people that those people are dragging to the theme parks.
Wow.
So it really does, isn't that huge? I mean, it's an amazing statistic.
It really is. Oh, my goodness, I didn't realize it was so high. That is huge. And for those people who don't really understand what you're talking about with the newsletter, can you paint a picture with words of what that looks like?
Yep. The most common size printed newsletter, paper and ink printed and mailed newsletter that arrives in the mailbox at the end of your driveway, that is a 4-page newsletter. And if you just picture a piece of paper that's 11 by 17 folded to 8.5 by 11, that's a 4-page newsletter. And so that is what we mail. That's what my customers mail on a monthly basis to their customers. And it's made up of, as I said, it's a combination of content. I call it work stuff and other stuff. See, there's a few things you want to have in there that are absolutely work-related, which, like your success story. Maybe there's a little personality-based article about you, the owner, if you're the entrepreneur and face of the business. I think that's a good thing because it helps. People like to do business with people, not necessarily a brick-and-mortar store. And and then maybe one or two other things. I don't know if you want to do a client profile or a customer profile, something like that. And then the rest of the newsletter is a balance of articles that have nothing to do with your business, but your customers who are going to read the newsletter will find them interesting and informative, and therefore next month when the next issue hits the mailbox, they're going to have a good positive reaction. They're going to open it. All they really have to do is open it and read a couple things, and that newsletter is doing its job because it's keeping you top of mind. They're remembering your name. You know, most people, even if they want to refer somebody, if you're not in regular and frequent contact, how easy is it for us to forget their name? And I have a quick story that will illustrate that. Do we have time for that?
Sure, absolutely.
So about 10 years ago, I refinanced my house. I think I've done it twice since, but 10 years ago, interest rates were coming down, and I went to the Sunday paper and looked in that section of real estate, and there was a big grid. There probably was 30 or 40 people that, you know, were doing mortgages at the time. And I just called two or three of them. Two of them wouldn't take my call or return my call. I guess they were in their offices wondering why their business was so slow. But the one guy returned my call and was so nice, and he said, "Oh, I know you're busy. I'll come to your office. I'll drop off the paperwork. I'll have little those post-it notes, those pointed arrows everywhere you need to sign. I'll then pick the stuff up. And when your wife and you come for settlement, I'll make sure you're in and out of there in less than an hour. I know how valuable your time is." I'm like, holy crap, this is amazing. And he did everything that he said he would do, and I was just so impressed. And being a 30-plus year student of, you know, great customer service and great business interactions, I promoted him to, you know, some of my neighbors and some of the people that I was interacting with at the time. And he got two or three, you know, new customers from me. And about 3 or 4 months later, Linda and Gina, this is cool, about 3 or 4 months later, my neighbor asked me, he said, "Hey, I see interest rates are starting to nudge up. I think I'm going to refi. Who's that guy you've been bragging about?" I could not remember his name 3 to 4 months later. I couldn't even remember the name of the business. I said, "Listen, hey, John, I can get in my car and drive you to his office, but I don't know the name of it. I can't remember. I'll think about it and let you know." Now, that proves my point. First of all, we're all busy. We have terrible – I mean, I'll speak for myself. I got a memory like a colander. I can only remember certain things for a certain period of time. Everything else seems to fall away. But it's not my job to remember that guy's name. If he had sent me a very simple little newsletter or something like that, every month I would have had his name at the very tip of my tongue when I had the opportunity to refer.
And you know what's interesting about that is two items. One is I know my own reaction when I get a postcard from a real estate agent or something at these really long intervals. It doesn't matter what it is I'm being sent. It feels like I'm being sold. It doesn't feel like there's anything that's that where any of the thinking is on my behalf, where that person was trying to get me information because it might be useful to me. Excuse me. So that's one of the things about when there's no continuity in the communication, the relationships, in sharing stories and so on. And the other is what you just pointed out about amnesia about names. I've always been what I now call name blind, which is I will meet someone at a networking event, have a full conversation, and a week later, I don't remember their name because I meet hundreds of people a week. And so here you had someone you'd actually done business with and in mere weeks could not recall their name or the name of their business. That's how overloaded we all are. And so it really, as business owners, as business leaders, we really need to understand that our prospective clients and our current customers are going through the same thing themselves.
You're exactly right. And, you know, the powerful thing about it is that when you are in regular and frequent contact with your customers, it says about a couple things. Number one, it says you are successful because let's face it, anybody can create an e-zine or electronic newsletter. It's not that hard. And I think in that world you become an also. You know, you're somebody else also doing that. And I think maybe 8-10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, electronic newsletters were pretty neat. You know, big colorful things with pictures in your email box and information, something you're interested in. But there's so many of them now. Email is such a problem and such an overload. People are no longer looking forward to it. And the other thing you said, which is really important. And I forget if it was Linda or Gina who was just speaking, but what really
Linda.
Important is – okay, Linda. So when you said, you know, you occasionally get a postcard from your realtor, I see the same thing in the online world. I mean, there are people who you know are successful, and all of a sudden they disappear for a while, and maybe you think to yourself, well, maybe they just retired. They took all their millions or whatever, and they're sitting on a beach somewhere. And then all of a sudden you see them pop up online, hey, I'm selling a $47 ebook or a $97 webinar course. And you go, okay, somebody just ran out of cash, you know. I don't know, maybe that's just me thinking like that, but the reality is people who are smart marketers, they market on a regular and consistent basis. And so when things that arrive in your mailbox like clockwork, they tend to have a higher degree of importance. And things that arrive sporadically, like every once in a while when the spirit moves you, or i.e. when your business needs help, that means you send something out and it has a whole different feel to it.
I love that example because I watch what comes in my email, and that's exactly the reaction I have. There are people where they disappear for weeks or months, and suddenly I'm getting an email every 3 days, and my reaction is, oh, you've got a launch on, and you want my money.
That's right. And, you know, here's an interesting thing about that. You know, I have a decent-sized list. It's about 17,000 small business owners. And it grows, but it seldom does it go backwards. And I'm a pretty aggressive online marketer. I mean, I send out a newsletter every Tuesday. I promote my videos, my podcast on Friday. I send out, like, a weekly update of what happened that week. And that is week in and week out. And you would think people would go, nah, unsubscribe. But the fact of the matter is when I do promote something, you know, right now I'm promoting my Stop Waiting Academy in Vegas, but when I promote, you know, maybe four times a year, in an aggressive manner. And even when I'm doing that email every day, sometimes a couple times a day, I don't have people unsubscribe. And sometimes people go, well, I wonder why that is. And I said, I'll tell you exactly why it is, because I've earned the right to promote. I give and I give and I give constantly, regularly, frequently, and with consistency. I put out good content and good information so that when I do promote, people go, well, that's okay. They're either interested or they're not, but they're not going to unsubscribe because I'm such a good source of information and I've earned the right to promote. That's why I think a lot of marketers need to understand is you need to earn the right to be a promoter.
You said something really vital that I'm thinking about the background context, which is people viewed online distribution of newsletters as a way of simplifying their own life, bringing down the costs, and yet being able to do something really beautiful that just showed up in people's email inboxes. I'll never forget, I had an electronic newsletter that I did weekly for a number of years, and I actually met in person with someone who said to me, I love your newsletter. I haven't had a chance to read it, but I got them all stored in a folder. And I thought to myself, you know, that's not serving my purpose as a business.
So one of the lessons there, by the way, if I can, one of the lessons is there, you can't give people so much information that they can't digest it or they think that they don't have time for it. And that's true in print and offline. So when I tell people, some people say, Jim, yeah, I don't know, 4 pages is enough. I think I want to give 8 pages or 12 pages. I said, big mistake. I want to deliver more value. You're telling me I always deliver more value. Yeah, but if people look at your newsletter, your print newsletter, they're going to make a very quick assessment and decision. If I can read this in like 5 or 10 minutes, I will read it. If it looks like it's going to take me longer, I'm not saying I'm never going to read it, but it's going to go in a folder, and I'm going to try and read it later. The same thing with electronic. If you send somebody your thesis in an email newsletter and it looks like it's going to take them a couple hours to read, it's not getting read.
Right. And I know we have people who are listening to this conversation who are focused first on having an online business. What is it that you share with folks who think that doing it all online, is the way of optimizing and leveraging and doing it all, quote, best?
Well, you know, there's an expression, success leaves clues or cracks. And if you look at even the best online marketers, and I would think of Ryan Dice as one of those. He's a very high-quality guy. Even he does, he sends out print newsletters. I occasionally get direct mail from him and things like that. I don't think there's any such thing as a purely online business unless it's a constant churn and burn of acquired names, meaning that if I'm going to put, you know, 100,000 names in here, we're going to see if we can get 3,000 to 5,000 of them to buy, and then they'll burn out, but we keep putting more and more in. That's one business model. But to me, you know, being kind of an old-school brick-and-mortar type guy, that's not a real business, in my opinion. A real business is
And even telephone, Jim.
Oh, my goodness.
A combination. Yeah. I mean, if you're strictly online, you are leaving so much money on the table, it's not even funny. Telephone,
oh, absolutely.
Print, every aspect of getting a way to touch your customer is critical. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. I mean, that's one of the things I teach. I call it my million-dollar platform. There's 15 different components. I mean, yeah, there is telephone. There's print and mail. There's all different kinds of social media. There's videos, podcasting, things like that. And she say, well, that's a lot to do. Well, yes, it is. Nobody said it was going to be easy having a powerful, successful business. Otherwise, everybody would be doing it. But, you know, I'm even doing things like you mentioned phone calling. We have my staff that reaches out to our clients by phone for no other reason but to say thank you. And they almost think, well, okay, what's next? What do you want me to buy? Nothing. We just want to thank you for being a customer. You think we just pay their kids' college tuition. They're so appreciative just for the simple phone call, not an email. Everybody can do an email, but to absolutely reach out with a phone call or something personal is really one of the big drivers of relationship building.
And we're not necessarily talking about the automated phone call that makes it look like it's a real person when it's just a recording. That high touch is so important if you really want the referrals coming in at the levels we're talking about today. So important. It really does blow them away. But the biggest thing it does is it makes you be differentiated from every single competitor that you have because it's so unusual, doesn't it, Jim?
Absolutely. You know, we're in an age where, unfortunately, customer service relationships with businesses is at such a low level that, quite frankly, if you simply greet your customers reasonably and you say thank you, you're going to be standing head and shoulders above most of the things. So it actually doesn't take a lot to really stand out and have a kick butt business. Not every customer I have is thrilled with me or my team or how we handle things. It's not even rational to think that you can keep everybody 100% of the time. But I have a thing, and I call it no ripples. In other words, if a customer is going to leave for whatever reason, I want as little of a ripple as possible. I want them leaving happy. I want them leaving satisfied, even if they no longer want to use my product or service. Because in this day and age of online marketing and things like that, it is so easy to have your name and reputation tarnished by someone angry. Even if it's no fault of your own, it doesn't matter. You have to do whatever you can do to basically, again, cherish those relationships and make them as valuable, what I call maximize the profitability of each and every client relationship. And if it does go south, then do everything you can to make sure there's no ripple effect.
Jim, there's a question that I know people are thinking to themselves, which is, Yeah, but if I do the electronic version, I can do it with such little effort and little cost. And I don't think they understand the return on investment of doing the offline newsletter.
One of the things I've been coaching now entrepreneurs for 6 years, and maybe it's just me getting a little older also, but I'm a very polite person, but I'm also very candid and blunt. And when someone says something like that, I'll say, fine, do it your way, but don't come to me when it doesn't work. And that doesn't mean I have all the answers, but if you think for 1 minute that you can build a highly successful business taking what amounts to the easy way, the shortcut way, you're sadly mistaken. And I would venture to say that if everybody that asks that type of question is, and I don't mean this to be cruel, you're probably not even doing six figures in your business, because it does take an enormous amount of work and effort, and it takes having your hands in a lot of cookie jars, so to speak. It means doing a lot of different things and to really connect with. And someone could say, well, why is that, Tim? Why can't I just excel at one or two areas? Because people like to consume information on many different levels. Some people like to listen to audio like we're doing right now. Some people prefer to read blogs. Some people really appreciate the connection and closeness that you feel watching somebody on video. Other people, you know, like other electronic things. Some people are just totally into social media. Now, if you pick any one of those, you could do okay, I suppose, but you're going to be missing out on, you know, this giant profitable business, because the fact of the matter is, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, all you had to do is put an ad in the Yellow Pages, maybe do a little bit of radio, and you had it nailed. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, with the power of the internet and social media and podcasting and videos and all these other things that are at people's fingertips, apps. I've got a killer business app now. Did I want to do that? Did I want to spend the money in an app? No, but you know what? I've got 5,000 small business owners that downloaded my app, which means they're taking in my videos and podcasts and blog. I can also do a little push marketing to them, which means I can push messages to their phone. Yes, it was hard. I did not actually want to undertake it or spend the money, but it's helping me grow my business. So, you know, to that question, I usually can spot somebody who's just not willing, with all due respect, to put in the hard work it takes to grow a million-dollar business.
Yeah, I think that's part
Let
of what online the online
well.
World has is it's added to everybody wants to be a celebrity and everybody wants to build a million-dollar business on an hour a week.
Yep.
The other thing that I often see when people ask that question, they are usually people who have one product, maybe two, that really haven't thought the monetization through strategically. And so they're looking at what should be their lead generator, thinking about it as, oh my gosh, it's hitting my profit too hard. When in fact, if you make any money selling your lead generating product, you should be jumping up and down for joy because it should cost you money to sell that product. Do you see that as well, Jim?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, the name of my fifth book, which launched last fall, is Stop Waiting For It To Get Easier, Create Your Dream Business Now. And I think some isn't that cool? And I think people are waiting for, first of all, one of the main reasons I came up with that title was I think people are, they're sitting on the sidelines waiting, whether it's the economy or waiting for this or that. They're waiting in general for things to get easier. And there is no easier or better time than right now. And that's always the case. So it's not even like what's special about now. There's a lot of things special about now, but that's always the case, you know? And I abhor something that I call lottery ticket mentality. And if you buy lottery tickets.
What's a great term for it?
What's that?
The lottery ticket mentality. I know what you mean.
Oh, I thought you said you had a great term for that. Okay, a little bad connection there. But, you know, with lottery ticket mentality, whether or not you even buy lottery tickets every week or whatever, it's telling your brain there might be a quick and easy way to build this business. If I simply hit the lottery, man, I'll pay down my debt, I'll do a ton of marketing, or I'll retire, however, depending on how big the pot is, whatever. But that tells your brain to stop finding ways to creatively build this business, to find ways to promote the value that you're bringing to the marketplace, to promote ways to the exact target prospective clients, all the value that you have and all the solutions that you offer. So even when you think about quick and easy, can I just do this, you gotta kind of exercise that type of language and that type of belief from your thought process. You know, one of the ways you could switch that up is, okay, I know it's hard, I don't have time for it now, but I'm going to do it this time. I launched my podcast just about 2 years ago, actually, but I had it in mind to do. When I saw how podcasts were growing a few years ago, I said, I've got to add a podcast to my mix, but I'm so busy. I didn't look for, say, I'm not going to do it, I'm just going to do this. I said, I'm going to do it, and I kind of picked a date. I think it was in the fall, and I said, okay, no later than March 1st I'll launch. And I actually made a public declaration, and I made it. My first one came out, I think, in mid-March. But, you know, it's a difference in your mindset of, you know, what I find between highly successful entrepreneurs and your average entrepreneur is really not one of skill set. It's one of mindset.
It's so true. And for the folks who are here listening with us today, I want them to know that if they go to bbdnow.com/newsletters, with an S on the end, newsletters, you'll be able to see all of Jim's various programs and the products and an explanation of how you can take this into your business in the simplest of fashion. You know, Jim, I think there are some people who think they have to build a giant marketing organization if they're going to start doing really regular, well-done, offline newsletters. And that's not so.
No, it's not. You know, I have no employees. I do have 9 virtual assistants that work, you know, different varying number of hours. But I have no employees and run a decent-sized business with multiple kind of companies, multiple revenue streams. And I've done that because I've been able to set up systems and processes and things like that. One of the things I'm going to be teaching at my Dream Business Academy in Las Vegas is how to build a $1 million platform on a shoestring budget, because I want to look professional, I want to look successful, but I don't necessarily like spending a lot of money doing it. So I'm going to be sharing a lot of the examples and ways that you can do this and you can look like you've really got it all together without necessarily spending a lot of money. Now, you mentioned newsletters specifically. That's, you know, one of the services that we offer with No Hassle Newsletters, is that people can have, you know, basically done-for-you newsletter templates that they can mail out to their customers without spending hours and hours and hours. In fact, if you spend any more than 1 hour a month, you're doing something wrong.
Right, and I've seen the results of those newsletters, and it's not, I mean, they're really nice quality, and they touch all the elements that you talked about before, about all these various ways of sharing stories and so on to really build relationships with people.
I thank you. You know, I tell a story when I'm out speaking. When I wrote my very first newsletter back in the bike shop days, by the way, this was pre-computer. I typed it out on a typewriter. It was just 8.5 by 11, black and white, and I glued down the pictures and, you know, used white out on the edges, all that cool copyright, you know, copy setting stuff. And the one thing that I think really made that first newsletter take off was I was promoting bicycle shorts, the padded bike shorts that some people wore, but in the early 80s, not a lot of people wore. But one of the reasons I wanted to promote the bike shorts was that there was a very high profit margin. I think we could buy those shorts for about 10 bucks, and they were selling for like $30. So, you know, there's no assembly or anything. It was a quick 20 bucks of pure profit. And so when I wrote, this is how I learned the power of, you know, quote unquote, the success story, or being conversational and, you know, having some good headlines. So what I did is I didn't have a headline that said featured product of the month padded bike shorts. The headline I wrote was how to ride 4 hours instead of 40 minutes without a sore butt. And then I went on and I described these shorts that are, they don't chafe. There's a pad, you know, and sewn into the crotch, and it helps absorb, because back then the seats were a lot smaller on the bikes. And we had people coming in our store. I mailed that newsletter out to about 1,800 of our customers, and we had people coming in that would say anything somewhat remotely close, like, how is it even possible to ride 4 hours? Or, you know, what's the secret to riding without a sore butt? Yeah, show me this thing, blah, blah. If there was any variation of that, I was like, as I walk them over to the shorts, I'm doing cartwheels in my imagination, because I'm thinking, oh, my God, the newsletter just brought in a customer. And that's how I kind of learned that. I just wanted to be very conversational and have a little fun with it, and it started driving sales.
It's so important, because I think everybody thinks they have to figure out how to be utterly clever. And it's actually, it's more about knowing how to be authentic. You know?
That's a great word.
And I mean it in the truest sense of it. Gene and I had Greg Rainerson of Cops and Donuts, an amazing business. You know, one of the things I said when he was on was I had such complete envy, because these were policemen who decided to save the local bakery by buying it right as it was about to close. And because they named it Cops and Donuts, and because they had a background as policemen, it gave them every metaphor they could possibly want to use for the names of their products and their marketing and so on. And in the same way, you with your bicycle shop, you knew the vocabulary to use in telling the stories or telling the jokes or whatever, so that it was, you know, wonderfully planted in your clients' and customers' minds.
And it's funny that you mentioned Greg today, Linda, because guess what I'm eating right now?
See, he even has them float in.
I did. $32 it cost me for 6 donuts, and it was worth every penny.
So Jim, when you're working with people, are you helping them figure out what their voice is to use with their customers?
Yep, I have a few different coaching programs, but that's one of them. We'll actually brainstorm not only their voice, but their persona or character, so to speak. You know, I've worked with a podiatrist, and this guy had a, I mean, he's a doctor. He actually operates on people's feet, so he's obviously got some intelligence. He's a smart man, but he's also got one heck of a personality. And I said, you know what? I hope you go with this, because my gut tells me this is right. I want you to be the foot dude. And so we are creating a podcast called The Foot Dude and videos, and we're putting together a whole website all based on The Foot Dude. And it's going to be just some good homespun, but obviously correct medical advice on, you know, footwear and, you know, feet in the summer, feet in the winter. But he's going to be the foot dude, and he's just going to present a lot of information and content that's going to make him I said, I want you to be like the Dr. Oz of feet, and, you know, that's going to drive a lot of traffic, and it's going to drive more patients your way. So I do help people create, like, their fun and compelling character and then teach them how to market in a way that, you know, actually is going to attract new clients or patients instead of you having to go out and fish for new business.
Very cool. I would love if you would share, do you have any seats remaining? I'm basically one of the people who's going to be in Las Vegas at your event, but do you have any seats left if people who are listening right now want to clear their calendar next week and join you in Las Vegas?
I'm so excited. We have 5 seats left, and then we're officially sold out. And it's going to be an amazing event. It's going to be the seminar is 2 days, and there's an optional 3rd day to mastermind with me and help me kind of brainstorm your business. But I am going to be teaching the whole secret to a $1 million platform on a shoestring budget, and I'm also going to be in a way that I'm not aware, and I've been a major seminar goer. I've never seen anybody who's going to be very transparent and pull back the curtain on their own business, because a lot of people, one of the reasons I decided to do this event was that people have asked me, how did you grow your business? How do you do this? How do you have multiple revenue streams and all this and that? And it's hard for me to just share, like we're sharing now, some strategies, but I'm going to really talk about my business, and I think that people will pull out of it the nuggets they want that they can use and implement in their business. So it's going to be, what I'm kind of saying is it's going to be like a 2-day private, almost private coaching session with me, and it's going to be very, very powerful and impactful. But the website, thank you for asking, is stopwaitingacademy.com, stopwaitingacademy.com, and as I said, there are 5 seats left, and we do officially close the doors on Monday, which I believe is the 10th, just so we have to give final counts and everything to the hotel, but that'd be awesome to meet some more
folks.
Right,
and so
there.
People are concerned about being able to get in touch. If they do bbdnow.com/newsletters, that's going to take you to Jim's site, and you're going to see the phone number for his office right there in the upper right-hand corner. So pick up the phone and call his staff and, you know, get yourself one of those seats.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And make sure when you register, you tell me that you heard me on the podcast here, and it'd be great to meet you.
Yep. Yeah, wonderful. And it's intimate. This is not one of those rooms filled with 500 people.
No. In fact, I specifically did not want to do that because – and I don't know if I'd ever grow at that size because, again, I want to be talking about a lot about my personal life, what I went through, what I'm doing. I don't know if I could do that in a giant room. And I also realized that – you know, my good friend Moni Benson-Strick says, when you tap into your genius, as she calls it, that's when you excel and that's when you connect with people. And what I figured out, you know, my genius, that's kind of a weird word to say about yourself, but what I figured out my sweet spot is when I'm interacting with people and coaching and answering questions and brainstorming, and that's what I really want to do, and there's no way to do that in a giant room. So it's about 40 people, and we'll be maxed out at that point.
Very cool. And again, you've got all kinds of programs for people. Really, you know, figure out what the sweet spot is for them in developing the right message, the right marketing for themselves through newsletters or otherwise, in the various programs that you have that you offer. So I really encourage
and
people.
And Jim, just so you know, I call that your strength or your skill with a capital S.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Go ahead, Linda.
No, I just want to encourage people to take the opportunity to go and see what the various programs are, because Jim's been at this for a long time. He started, you know, I love people who have started and learned and road tested stuff for themselves en route to becoming experts, not merely people who went and got themselves a college degree in some topic and said, therefore I'm an expert, but rather people who really have the dirt under the nails the way, Jim, you have.
I like that.
You know, from the bicycle, oil under the nails, you know, from the bicycle up onwards. So.
Well, that's a big problem. I mean, that's if there is one of the problems with, you know, internet marketing and things like that, there are people out there that are, oh, business coach this and business coach that, and, you know, the truth of the matter is they don't have a successful business themselves. They've done a lot of reading on what it takes and things like that, but you got to be really careful with who you want to invest in and make sure, you know, when the rubber meets the road, make sure they have a track record and they've actually done what they say they've done and what they're going to teach you. I think that's really important.
It is, Gina.
And not only that they've done it, but that they have examples that they can let you contact that have done it as well. Because so many times you see people who are out there teaching this stuff who are one-hit wonders. They did it for themselves, but the way that they did it really doesn't work when other people try it. It's very obvious both on Jim's website and on what he shared today. This is not someone who's a one-hit wonder. This is someone who really knows both how to do it and how to teach it. He couldn't have shared many of the wonderful stories he shared with us today if he didn't. So I know I'm going over to bbbnow.com/newsletters myself to go check it out and see what there is to see, because you've got just a wealth of stuff on your website. Oh, my goodness.
There's a lot of stuff there, but, you know, it is all about content marketing. I mean, when you put out content on a regular and frequent basis, that's what attracts people to you. And there are people, by the way, some people, if you're struggling right now, if you're in a serious cash flow crunch, this may not give you any comfort. But I've had people that have followed me for 2 years or more. One guy, if you've ever watched my videos, you'll understand this reference, because at the beginning of the video, I'm standing on a dock and I talk about my boatload of smart marketing and business building advice, and then I say, and a little fun along the way, and that's when I jump off the dock. And one guy that signed up for my coaching program a little while ago said, Jim, I've been watching you jump off the dock for 2 years now, and I figured now's the time I want you to help me grow my business. So, you know, there is no such thing as a quick fix, as a, you know, a silver bullet or lottery ticket. You know, it's you can build a business, absolutely, but it's going to be a little bit of work, and you just have the right strategies and the right coach in your corner.
Get this, Jim. I recently, like within the last 2 months, had someone who has been watching me, following me since January of 2005, trying to save the money to come into my coaching program, who finally got onto a call with me thinking I'm still a little short, not realizing that he could do payment arrangements to come in, and came in instantaneously. Since 2005.
That's
so
amazing.
So now that really does happen. It doesn't happen often, but 2 years happens quite often in my world.
Yep.
When you're really providing great content, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It's not the other way around. It's not when you really want the customer, they automatically show up. It's every person shows up and is ready at a different time. And you can't really control that with anything other than content. So if
That's
it's
right.
content, great. Use the content to really serve them to the best of your ability so that when they are ready, you're top of mind and there and ready to help them. This has been a fun hour, Jim. Thank you so much again for all of our listeners. You want to go to bbdnow.com/newsletters. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners, Jim?
Yeah, I'll give you this. This is one of my favorite pieces of advice. You will make infinitely more money for who you are than what you do. You'll make infinitely more money for who you are than what you do, and that means you have to become a celebrity expert. You have to create your compelling character. You have to promote yourself as the go-to resource. It's not enough if you're an accountant to say we're really, 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 really good with numbers, so trust us over the other guy. You really have to be somebody. When you are that person of influence, when you are recognized as the go-to authority in your niche, that's when the big money will roll.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Linda and I will be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Linda. It's been a great show.
Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. Thank you, ladies.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.